Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 555.
Whoa.
See you drive that, Sammy Hagar.
Yeah.
The box office, not necessarily the box office report.
Yeah, get it right.
For the week, not necessarily ending March 1st.
I think it begins, March 1st begins the week.
I mean, according to a calendar, March 1st would begin the week.
Unless you have a broadcast calendar.
Oh my God, what is that?
They start on Mondays. It was so confusing.
Yeah, I bet.
To look at a broadcast calendar when I was like, can we just go back to like the calendar real people use? Like we're not that good at this. Like,
what is this, the metric system?
Yeah, no, stop it. So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And joining us via the magic of Skype-a-phone is League of Show Share member, longtime listener, Tammy Sherman Powers. Hey, Tammy, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Our favorite Civil War general.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, we invited her because this is a very special milestone episode.
Milestone is appropriate.
555?
555.
Yeah.
A palindrome.
And Joe's stealing my thunder.
So I guess I should do our shameless plugs before I lose track of where we're at.
It won't take long.
No. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts. Wherever you get your podcast, be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And you can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page. Join the group, and you can join the League of Show Sharers by sharing an episode. And people who were kind enough to share the show this week are Librarian Cynthia, Chris Sanders, Travis Tewitt, Tom Kaminsky, Susan Carlson, Griffin Fox Smith, Brent Smith, Chris Magic Man, the aforementioned Tammy Sherman Powers.
Ooh.
That Brad Hyen rule.
Yeah, the Brad Hyen rule.
It's the opposite of the Brad Hyen rule.
Right, right, right.
It's the Tammy Sherman Powers rule.
Correct.
It's where if you're on an episode, but you shared the last one, then you still get the mention.
You're good to go.
But you don't get them. But see, on the next one, you won't get the mention.
No. Nope.
Because you
Brad
should
Hyen
share
rule.
The episode you're on. That's the Brad Hyen rule.
That's the Brad Hyen rule.
Yeah. So Ron Johnson, Julianne Jordan, Chris Williams, Ralph Tribble, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Gabriel Lugo, and Carl Clarkson. So thank you very much. And of course, our Patreon. Patreon.com, $5 a month. You get all sorts of bonus content.
Yeah.
How exciting for you.
Very exciting.
So I guess there's all the shameless plugs. I don't know. Anybody got news or something?
Yesterday was Superman's birthday.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and I didn't get him a card.
Well, it's all right. Somebody, we have a text thread between a bunch of us, and somebody posted a picture that John Byrne had drawn of him smashing through a wind, like a wall, and everybody's wishing him happy birthday, and there's like, he's kind of a dog. Like, why would he just...
Who's fixing that wall?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm like, is it the Kool-Aid man of the DC universe? Where he's like, oh, yeah, that's my birthday. And smashes through. Everybody's like, woo.
Let's be honest. Your group text thread is you and Brian Spath.
There's five other people.
Oh, okay.
In the thread.
But do they ever talk?
Yes. 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 They do.
Yeah,
they're
lurking.
I mean, we think so.
Joe.
We think so.
Joe.
It's possible.
Do they?
Yeah, I think so.
Do these people really? Are they Brian Spath burner accounts?
No.
Like
no.
A slapping keys
in there. I have been in the same room with all of these people.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. He turns around real quick, puts on a mustache. Oh, hey, Slappy.
And then turn around and put glasses on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It worked for Superman.
Well, and yesterday was also the anniversary of the death of Davy Jones.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He died on February 29th.
Womp, womp.
Yeah.
Did he go down to his locker?
They did do that joke on SpongeBob where he's actually on the episode.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. Yeah. That's fantastic. As Davy Jones?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
That's how he died. He drowned.
That's perfect.
While filming that episode. It was tragic, but as far as tragedies go, it was pretty cute.
SpongeBob does that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the one that the Brady Bunch girls liked.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like he was
like the heartthrob, right?
Yeah.
He was on an episode of the Brady Bunch. Yeah. Because yeah. that was like not too long after the Bunkies had gone away. They officially ended it in 70, although for most people they ended in 68. But they still tried for 2 years.
Not for Tom. Tom held on.
Well, I wasn't alive yet, but okay. And then I think he was on, and then the Brady Bunch started, I think, in 69. I think he was on around 72 or 73.
Okay.
So it ran for 5 seasons, if memory serves. So
the Brady Bunch did?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he was on later in the run because Marsha's in high school. She's, you know, but yeah, that was his attempt to kind of like push his single on people.
Ah. Yeah, there hasn't been a bunch. It's been a kind of quiet week. I don't like using that word because then something big will happen.
Well, I'll tell you what. One of the big news that actually ties into our next episode is that the director of The Invisible Man, Lee Whannell, he signed a deal with Blumhouse for 2 years at a first look deal. And so this guy has really, I mean, he's been partnered with Jason Blum at least for 10 years.
And James Wan.
Yeah.
So, because he did Insidious 3.
Mm-hmm. Saw.
And Saw the first.
He did all the Insidious stuff, I believe.
He was the writer of the first Saw with James Wan?
Not just directing, but I mean, he wrote Insidious. Yeah. Oh, like he's been working with him for.
Gotcha.
He's in the Insidious movies. He's one of He's one of.
Is he one of those two guys?
Yes.
Oh,
he's the little guy.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
and he's in Saw.
Yeah, he's the guy.
I've never seen a Saw movie.
Okay. One and two are worth it.
At least the first one. Yeah. I mean, that was original, and that's what kickstarted all these crazy, gory, you know. But
I don't like the gore.
Well, then you may not want to watch Saw.
Yeah. But it's a psychological, like it messes with your head type of thing. Because you're like, what is happening here?
You know? Tammy, have you seen Saw?
Yes, I have.
She saw Saw?
Should I see Saw? What?
No.
No.
Right, yeah. Like,
should I teeter totter? Yeah.
But it's crazy. Like, this guy's gone on to do all this stuff, but a lot of people don't realize that he was the other guy, not Gary Ewell.
He's the other guy,
and Saw.
Yeah,
and then also, he was in The Matrix Reloaded.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't see that one either.
That's for the best. That's a bad one.
Is that the second or third
one?
That's the second.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I didn't see either of them.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
I saw the first one.
That's all you need.
And was like, this is one of those odd movies where I'm on the opposite side. Because I saw The Matrix and I was like, what is everybody jizzing over? This was a snooze. I don't get it. Like, there was a couple cool scenes, but like, I don't understand why this is a life-changing event for people.
It was not life-changing.
And then when
cool
the
movie.
Sequels came out, I was like, I'm good.
Well, the diminishing returns.
Yeah, big time.
And then that proved me right. Yeah. But I, you know.
Second one was like, okay, some pretty cool stuff. The third one was like, get out of here.
Yep. Yeah.
So
those ladies almost had Superman.
Oh, really?
Coming off of that second Matrix movie, like they were who they wanted. And they do it. Like they do a whole Superman scene in that movie, like when Neo flies up in the air.
Oh, sure.
It's just like,
sense.
Well, that's your test footage. That's what that was.
But he played a character named Axel in the second Matrix movie. It's just totally random. So it was really one of his first movie appearances because he had been in like one of James Wan's early films that didn't have theatrical release or anything, like really early film.
I think
yeah, and then some shorts.
I think it's on like the Saw director's cut.
Did they really?
I think that short's on there.
So he's in there, but then he did some short stuff, and then
he did Upgrade. Remember that?
Oh, he's the director of Upgrade.
That shows big time in this one.
Absolutely. So and that was another Blumhouse movie.
That was good stuff.
You know, it didn't do financially as well as you know you would think it would because it's really good. It's really cool.
It was really
You know, not a lot of people turned up for it. But anyway, this guy is a writer, director. He's really. Critically, his stuff has done really well. So, we'll see what else he turns
and we'll
up.
Get into it. But we'll get into it.
Oh, well, like, exactly. Well, yeah. I just announced that they inked the deal and the movie is out already. The announcement came after the movie was out. So, if you can connect the dots,
right.
They don't usually announce 2 year first look deals after a movie.
I wonder if he's going to be like the second guy in charge of the Universal stuff.
Oh, that could be possible. Yeah. So we'll have to see. I mean, we're not quite to the report yet, but I mean, the movie did overperform.
Oh,
so,
for sure. We said on the last episode, or the Fantasy Island episode, where like they kind of they hedge their bets, like they know what's going to work. Like I think with Fantasy Island, they were like, "Nah, we'll make something." You know,
maybe next time,
maybe yeah. You know, we'll give it a go, and then whatever happens, happens. I only paid $30 for it, so yeah. It's fine.
and that was proper Blumhouse, right?
That was proper Blumhouse. Yeah,
just doesn't seem right.
It does though. Like if you look at his track record. You know, like there was the Olivia Wilde one.
Yeah.
So he's got like there's
a few misses.
There's a line, like there's a defining line between like the prestige Blumhouse and the stuff where he's like, ah.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I would think that stuff should just go under Blumhouse tilt to like to be like, you know, oh, this
yeah,
might
maybe.
Be not be as good as we thought.
Maybe
just to not sell.
Actually, I think Upgrade may have been
tilt. Oh, possibly.
Maybe. But yeah, so like the Halloween and. Insidious or Sinister, I think they're both Blumhouse.
Yeah.
The Conjuring, all that stuff is like Blumhouse prestige. And then you know, and there's
Fantasy Island would have been a good choice for a tilt release because it wasn't true horror,
right?
And
right.
So that, you know, that could have been their out instead of just saying, "Oh, this thing's a piece of crap."
Right.
We're gonna and. I still don't think it was a piece of crap. It wasn't what it could have been. But,
the
problem, since it's essentially an anthology movie that kind of threads together,
right.
Like there were stories that I liked and there were stories that I didn't like. And, you know, but it's a shame seeing Invisible Man, which, you know, spoiler, I thought was amazing.
Oh, it's next level.
And like if I wish they could have been that creative on Fantasy Island.
Sure.
Like, because I think that lends itself to that sort of reimagining.
Right. Did you ever see Body Bags?
No.
Tammy, did you ever see Body Bags?
No. I'm not a big horror person.
Okay. We just invited her on for horror episode.
Yeah. So it was an anthology, like came out right around the time of like Tales from the Crypt.
Okay.
And it was a John Carpenter thing. So
I've never even heard of it.
It's very niche, but it's the same thing where he's like a creepy morgue guy, like Carpenter is, like he's in makeup and all kinds of crazy stuff, but the first bit is amazing. And it's about this gal who is new at a gas station. David Naughton is in it, so it's from American Werewolf in London, like he's in this little short. It's fan, like that short makes up for the entire movie.
Is that the guy that we talked about the other day? Was he the best friend?
No, David Naughton was the guy. He was.
Oh,
he's the main guy. He's the werewolf.
Oh, okay. Who's the best friend again? What was his name? Yeah. Okay. Just curious. Okay.
Yep.
So another
Griffin
piece of,
Dunn.
There it is. Yeah, yep. That's it. Okay. So another piece of news. I thought this was really funny. Did you see what James Gunn said about the Suicide Squad?
I quit. No, I don't know.
What? It's done. It's done filming.
He says, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Oh, just delete all that footage. No. The Suicide Squad wrapped, so all the footage is done with filming. But he just he was telling people online that Marvel didn't know he was directing the Suicide Squad when they rehired him.
Good Lord. You know what?
So he got the deal, got rehired by Marvel, and then was like, hey, by the way, I'm already doing a deal with DC.
You know, though, like that plays.
Wasn't that public? I feel like the public knew he was doing that before.
Maybe they didn't announce the rehiring public. Remember, this was all pre the Fox buy deal.
Yeah.
And we all had this theory, you know, putting our tinfoil hats on for a second, that Disney, because of their image and trying to merge the two huge companies, they didn't want any controversy. So they fired him and they conveniently rehired him like right as the deal was done or right after or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm thinking maybe they had that conversation pre
deal.
Like,
I'm sure he's like, you know, I know you want me to do Guardians 3, but you know what's got to come out in like 2022 because I have the Suicide Squad. I'm sure Marvel's like, you have what? What do you mean? That already came out. James.
They were like,
that's.
They were like, God dang it! Now we got to go buy DC Comics too.
So
AT&T's like, you can have it. I don't care.
So this article is from Screen Rant, and they're posting a screen capture of James Gunn, I believe, on Instagram. And someone said, without DC giving you this opportunity, do you think Disney would have came back around for Guardians of the Galaxy 3? And he said, I know for a fact they would have, as they didn't know about Squad when they first talked to me.
God. Okay, well, when they first talked to me, so they still might have known when they hired
That's
him.
True. They may when they you started talking again,
well,
they
Well, I guess
didn't
possible,
know.
But they offered, they were talking to him about coming back.
Right.
They were offering him to come back, and they didn't know. So
weird. Like,
but a talk could be the beginning of the conversation, not an official offer. I mean, obviously they're interested at that point, but by the time they made the offer, they might have known.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's I absolutely believe though that Marvel and Disney are just so far out of the loop as far as they're just like, we have so many things going on. We got to get that guy back. What do you mean? So, okay, so we signed him, right? Yeah, we got him. But he's working for the other guys? Yeah, yeah. We kind of dropped the ball on that one. They scooped him up pretty quick. That was on us. Sorry, boss. That's why Ike is like, you know what? I'm out. I don't want to do this anymore.
You know, I will say this, though. Credit to them for not letting ego get in the way.
Totally.
And yeah. being like, well, if you're going to be over there, then you can't be
can't
over
be
here.
Can't be over here. No. You know? Can't do it.
So, did you guys see what I posted in about the Snyder Cut?
Oh, I blocked you on Facebook.
Yeah, I totally muted you on Facebook. Oh.
Okay. No. Next up.
No.
No. The
why,
thing about like they're about reshoots.
Like,
how are they going to do reshoots? These, I mean, you good luck trying to get these actors back.
Well, but they're not going to come do it for free.
Yeah,
and
but,
who's paying?
Yeah.
But wasn't what's his face in the picture? Like, I don't know if that was a different picture, but Zack Snyder shared a photo from the set of reshoots, and I thought that what's his Momoa was in the background, unless
no
that was
way.
A different picture. But the picture that's on the article. As him in the background, so maybe he shared something different and it's clickbaity, but either way, like, Zack Snyder's running with this thing as he has for the last 2 years, but it's like now he's like doing a contest, and if you win the contest you can be in one of the reshoots.
There's no way.
And he's sharing a photo from the reshoots.
Are
like
are they just gonna reshoot cityscapes? Because are you gonna tell me for 1 second,
well, if you win
any
the
if
you win the contest you get to be in the reshoot,
you get to be Superman. But you have to grow a mustache
and they have to digitally remove it. That's the thing. But yeah, I'm like, I couldn't believe that. I know that they've been like, let's do this, and nothing official has ever come out, and Snyder's only like low-key confirmed it to people at booths at cons or whatever, but now he's sharing photos of like be in the Snyder Cut reshoots, so I guess they're doing it.
I doubt it. I don't.
What is he, what else, like, it's Snyder saying like, here we are doing reshoots.
This is your chance to be left on the editing room floor of a major superhero movie.
It's just weird. It's, like, I don't,
this whole
by the time this comes out, the new Batman movie, like,
we're gonna get another Justice League
we're not
before
gonna be making
this,
these.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's, I don't know,
it's
just
so stupid. I'm so tired of hearing about, you know, honestly, release it so I don't have to hear any more about it.
Oh, I said that months ago. Yeah. I'm like, please just release this stupid
I don't
want to
hear any.
And then
more
everyone
about it.
Can see it, and then they could
be like, "Oh, it's the greatest thing I've ever seen."
I did. I surprisingly, this didn't get trending, but yesterday on Twitter, when I tweeted that article, I did hashtag Cut Snyder off.
Yeah, no,
because
kidding.
It's
get
like,
out of
get,
here.
Yeah, I don't know what
pull
the
a Joey is. A Joey from Full House.
Right, cut it out. No, I don't know what the deal is, but anyway, that was a surprise because I think I muted it. On Twitter,
I definitely
I don't see it anymore. No. As far as in my timeline, unless someone shares a picture or whatever. So when that popped up as a trending article, like,
yeah,
where is it?
No. Thank
well,
you.
they have picked finalists. They have four finalists.
Are you serious?
Really? Yeah. They're see. So
are they all bros?
That's
what I would guess.
Or broettes?
No. Are there broettes?
The names
for
they've used are Mighty Beaver,
bro,
Soham Ept. Victor something. I like their names. I can't even. It might be their online names, but
like, Mighty Beaver is a bro.
Totally,
even if it's a girl.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Bro-ette. Like,
I don't know. Like, Tammy, are you like? Are you a fan of Zack Snyder films?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, like I'm not as into. I a lot of times don't even know who's directed or produced a lot of the movies that I see.
Okay. Did you like Justice League?
It's watchable.
Whoa.
Really putting
like,
it on the
I
spot.
I like Marvel
here.
Better.
You like
Marvel
better?
A lot better.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I just I'm always curious as to like what, like, we're so in a bubble with that movie. Like, I'm just always interested to hear what other people thought of it.
But like, you know? I mean, I don't like Justice League at all, or Batman v Superman hardly at all. But like, I like Zack Snyder pre all that stuff.
He's become a bro.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, if you like Zack Snyder, I would
say.
No.
That's fair. I think I think BVS and Justice League and
From Dawn of the Dead. I mean,
sure.
That original was my favorite horror movie, or like zombie movie.
Well, there's
and
your.
I thought the remake was great.
There's your bit of news. Sci-Fi ordered a Dawn of the Dead TV show.
Really?
That's going to go to the beginning of the virus.
Okay.
I don't know how it's going
like,
to work. I mean, we saw
like,
The Walking Dead.
They're going to. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to do Dawn of the Dead. It's going to be about the beginning of the virus. Huh, joke's on you. It's just CNN.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Oh, too soon.
Fake news.
But like, yeah, as soon as you said that, I'm thinking like, didn't we do this already? You're a little late on that trend. That was like 10 years ago.
What's that?
they're making The Walking
Dead.
Right. And that thing is, you know, they're still walking.
That's
surprise.
Well, I think that's like, this is done, right? It's over.
No, I think
they still have movies coming out.
Yeah, but the show.
The show's going, and then.
And then they still got their spinoff show going. And,
I heard it's crazy. People are posting screen caps on Twitter, and I don't even care about the spoilers in this case. And they're like, what are we doing here? It's real weird, the stuff they're sharing.
I quit. Is somebody like boning a zombie now?
Well,
I think it's Jeffrey Dean Morgan, whatever his face is. And like
Negan?
Yeah, I think he's doing real weird. Yeah.
So I quit.
He was like making out with someone wearing either
a mask.
Or
it's,
a zombie.
Those are masks. Like it's they're the Whisperers, I think.
It's weird, though.
Tammy, I don't want to spoil it. Like, you're caught up,
right?
I
watch it. Okay. Yeah, I'm caught up.
So please tell us what he's doing
in
this picture. Yeah.
So we clearly don't know what we're talking about.
They're actually coming out with a third spinoff.
A third show?
They keep teasing. Yeah.
Oh.
And it's more like, it seems like it's more younger kids. But it's supposed to be, they've given little teases.
Walking Dead Babies. Walking Dead Babies. I'm calling it now.
So
I think it's more for the younger people to get into it.
Oh. Gross. Yeah.
The millennial.
Robert Kirkman's just like,
it's just a zombie.
Baby.
It's just a zombie Snapchatting all day.
I just can't believe it's still going. I mean, I know it's what AMC has as their cash cow, but when these series, and obviously no offense to anyone like Tammy who likes it or still watches it. I used to watch it all the time too. I just mean, you know, when these series come out and they're like, we have a 7-year plan and we've got a story we want to tell, and they end it before it gets drawn out or whatever. And I just, to me, I never thought that it would just keep
going. Here's the thing though, right? Like with Game of Thrones, we knew that we knew that he was going to catch, that HBO was going to catch up.
No. Nope.
And what? That HBO was going to catch up to the books.
No.
What do you mean no?
It never did.
No, that's what he means, like in time.
The
world that we live in.
It was going to outpace the books,
right? I'm like, geez, he still hasn't come
Whatever.
Geez.
And HBO's like, nah, man, we'll just make prequel shows. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Kirkman finished that book.
Yeah.
That book is done. So there's going to come a point, and I don't know where they are.
Didn't he just be like, surprise, done?
Basically.
He just finished it, without anyone else.
He did. He killed both of his Invincible and The Walking Dead both ended.
Interesting.
And Invincible, I think, got picked up by Amazon, I think, is like an animated show. And it's
now, why do you think he would do that to his, his prize?
Because he has all the money
in the world.
Yeah,
he's ready to move on.
So he's writing a new book with Chris Somney that's supposed to come out in April.
Oh, nice.
Which looks kind of dope.
Is that St. Louis's own?
St. Louis's own, yeah. Chris Somney. Same deal. Like, he's in charge of Skybound, so I'm sure his responsibilities are. But he's also got two books that are still going currently. I've dropped both of them just because they never come out. But. Hmm. He's got all the money in the world. He's got a lot of responsibilities as far as like Skybound and the Walking Dead TV show, which I'm sure he's creatively and has some influence on it. But yeah, and just
I mean, they have to pay him for creating the Walking Dead.
Yeah,
it's like they have to pay him, but the Walking Dead
has got to be a fairly inexpensive show to produce too. So even though the ratings are dropping, I think the production costs are cheap because
they built their own studios.
Yeah.
They built a studio in Georgia just to film that, and then they rent it to other people.
But they also don't have to worry about the cast because, like, normally what makes a show expensive when it's been on the air for a long time is those people. The cast members have clauses in their contract. The longer the show lasts, the more money they make. That's why you see so many shows get canceled after the fifth season. That's the big jump.
Here, they just kill them.
How many people are left from season one? Like two?
Think,
spoilers.
Is that right, Tammy?
Yeah, I think it's just Carol and Daryl.
Yeah. Carol and Daryl.
Yeah.
That worked out. And Merle. Merle and Daryl. No, Merle died.
Merle's not still alive.
No.
Didn't he came back at one point, right, Tammy? Like, we thought he was dead, and then he was there, and I'm like, what the?
But then wasn't he a zombie?
I can't remember. What
he
happened
to Merle?
He did
become a zombie. Yeah. He was in that town with the mayor.
Yeah.
Not the mayor.
The governor.
Governor.
That's right.
Okay, because, Michael.
The county executive. Michael, it'd be funny that they just had names that, weren't scary at all.
this is the treasurer.
Yeah.
That's the, we go over there.
But
the
Michael
CPA.
Rooker was showing up in everything, I remember, and he was blown up in popularity, and they're like, we need to bring that Merle character back somehow. The last piece of the news, if no one else has anything, two Simpsons news. One, at this when this airs, you'll have already seen it, but they're doing a big Avengers episode tonight.
They are, yeah.
Kevin Feige's in it. The Russo brothers are in it. And it's, I mean, I don't know, but it's like all Marvel crossover. Like Chinos is the name of the bad guy,
good,
and
yeah.
It's voiced by Kevin Feige. So I'm excited for that. You've got a lot of Marvel crossover stuff. And then they just announced, I mean, because of the deal with Fox, they're going to put a Simpsons short before Onward, a Pixar movie.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Simpsons before, I mean, Pixar. That's, I never thought those two things would go together, but
I mean, yeah, but the Simpsons is, I mean, that's almost like they're Disney. Simpsons by themselves,
yeah, it's its own thing. Yeah,
you know, like they're also too big to fail.
Yeah,
at this point,
what movie did we get a Simpsons short in front of before?
There was that Maggie Simpson short before.
Oh, I don't know.
Jeez, I'm trying to think what that was. Let me see. This
was one of the Ice Age movies, maybe.
That
because that's a Fox.
That's
thing.
Fox.
Oh, that makes sense.
I'm reading now. This is on Screen Rant as well, and. The Simpsons have dabbled in short films before as well. In 2012, the 3D animated short called Maggie Simpson in the Longest Daycare was attached to a screening of Ice Age Continental Drift.
Ah,
look at me.
Look at you. Good
but yeah,
job.
I mean, obviously.
But it was pretty much wordless.
Well, good,
yeah.
Maggie.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Right, no, but I'm just saying that was kind of their. That also keeps it kid friendly. There's not.
Well, that's
true.
That's fair.
You know, or helps keep it. I mean, I guess you could have.
I feel like The Simpsons isn't as edgy. Or as controversial as they were.
It still gets pretty.
I honestly haven't seen a new episode.
I think there's two things. One, it's gotten a little less edgy and society has
met up with it. When I was a kid, people would be like, you know, oh, your parents let you watch The Simpsons, which
there's a great podcast called Decoder Ring.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they do deep dives on just weird little quirks of pop culture. And they did one about, and which I found fascinating as somebody who's almost 50, that it was like, there was a moment in time when The Simpsons were super controversial.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow, there are people that don't know that. That's weird.
Exactly. I remember it, too.
Those first 10 seasons, probably.
Yeah. I think by 10, they were fine. I'd say the first three or four, they were, you know, I mean, Bush was complaining about them. And
oh,
it was
that's
like,
probably,
you know.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But they, like, did a deep dive on all the things that kind of worked together to make that controversial.
Uh-oh.
The hang on,
are you guys cleaning the oven again?
Where she's baking egg cups and they create a lot of grease and then it sets
just
up the
leaving
smoke
this
detectors.
In.
Yeah,
enjoy this, listeners.
We set off the smoke detectors, so if we don't make it to the end of this episode, well, I guess you'd never hear it.
No, we'll put it out.
Tom,
we'll make sure
I'm
we get
feeling
it out.
Very sleepy.
Yeah,
can I just sleep on the floor here?
I've been there.
There it is.
So I'm always excited for more Simpsons. I'm a huge Simpsons fan.
Sure,
I still
sure.
watch it. I'm really excited for that episode tonight. But you know, I would have thought since Disney bought 20th Century Fox, now it's just 20th Century Studio. Sure, Papa Simpsons short before 20th Century Studio movie.
Right.
But to cross over to Pixar, I mean, that's a completely different.
But I mean, Simpsons live on Disney Plus.
Yeah, man.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So,
but I mean, you know, they're all separate. Like Disney Plus is even separated by Disney Originals
yeah,
and
right,
National
right,
Geographic,
right.
And so you know, I mean, they're just different things.
Just one tag that says Simpsons,
right? Yeah. I mean, that I guarantee that of all the traffic going to Disney Plus, I mean, there must be a major amount that's
I
like
definitely,
me. It's
so
almost
on
nonstop.
Were they on FXX? Was they on the
FXX?
They're on their app, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And that
Simpsons
I mean,
World.
That's what I.
But you had to watch with commercials. I'll tell you
whatever,
what.
I didn't care.
Right, but still, the best thing about Disney Plus is that you can watch them without commercials.
Sure.
So, with us, it's on in the background when we're just hanging out or playing games or whatever. Like that Simpsons tab is on almost all the time, and I know a lot of people that are always tweeting or saying online, like, "Oh, thank goodness! Like, you know, I can watch all these episodes in one place."
Yeah,
and you know, and they're in good quality. We're still waiting for the 4:3 aspect ratio.
Sure, sure, sure.
So the early episodes are still cropped on the sides, so you
Boo.
Miss some of the gaps.
Yeah.
And they said that was going
to
be one of their goals coming in for the new year as they work
that.
Things out. And you know, because
there's
we,
jokes you miss,
right? It really are. And here we are in March 1st, and so I'm hoping it comes soon. But anyway, that'll be interesting to see it in front of a Pixar movie. But that's cool. I mean, it's cross promotion, right? They own them all.
Totally,
why not?
Totally.
Why not get The Simpsons? And I'm wondering when the next movie is going to come. You know, that movie made a ton of money.
It did
for
make
them.
A ton of money.
And, you know, and that was back in, what, 2007 or something? I can't remember. It was
maybe.
It was around there, the mid-2000s. So, I mean, I think it's probably going to be time, especially with Disney trying to recoup $73 billion for Fox.
We're going to get a live action, CG live action Disney like
Simpsons,
the Simpsons movie. Yeah,
I always remember Treehouse of Horror, like maybe four. When he goes into the real world, he's like, "What is this?" He's, you know,
he cake.
Walks by
erotic,
the erotic cakes.
Erotic cakes.
Yep, exactly. So
I guess the other thing is that Flash number 750.
Oh yeah,
comes out on Wednesday.
That's the one after 749, right?
It is correct, yeah. But apparently this is the beginning of 5G. The whole DC big deal with Dan DiDio, the whole shebang. Wonder Woman 750 came out a few months ago, and that kind of dropped the hints that the timeline is going to change. Like, the DC Comics timeline is going to
Why
change.
Why are they trying to get rid of all the popular characters
I don't think that. I don't know what's happening.
But that's what I hear is they're
going to age up everybody, and then they're going to it's what they do, right? Like, it's everybody. They want to they get to the point where they feel like Wonder Woman, Diana Prince, Hal Jordan, Barry Allen, Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne, like those characters aren't relatable to readers. So they're going to introduce Luke Fox, John Kent, Donna Troy, Kyle, you know, I'm not, which is what
Damian
they did.
Damian Wayne.
Well, maybe, or I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, so.
We know they love to put Damian in everything.
There's
like,
one,
get
there's
out
been,
of
there's
here,
been
Damian.
One writer that could get that right.
Yeah. I know. It's like, get Damian out of here. So annoying.
So yeah. So Wonder Woman 750 kind of dropped hints that maybe Wonder Woman was around in, that Diana was around in World War II. Flash 750 is going to drop more hints, and then we'll just see what happens from here. So there you go.
It'll be interesting. I mean, that dude's already out. So
yeah, and Jim Lee's like, no, we're not going to replace him.
Really?
And
he's the one.
So that's Jim Lee being like, no, I'm taking the job.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah, he was the co-publisher.
Yeah,
now.
Right. Well, that's the last guy I want in charge too.
Publisher Jim Lee.
Yeah, go get Joe Quesada. Go back up a truck to Joe Quesada. He saved
Marvel
Comics.
Yeah.
Bring him in and let him do some stuff.
So, all right, Tammy, any news?
None that I know of.
She's like, I listen to your show for this news.
She's like, yeah. So, well, I guess with all that, then I guess let's turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
Sure. Let's see how fast this internet browser loads. I don't.
Oh.
It's loading really slow. I guess I
broke
closed it.
The Invisible Man made all kinds of money. Yes.
Well, it does look kind of like The Invisible Man. It's literally a white screen with nothing else on it.
Would you like me to tell you what your abacus says?
I do, Tom. First try. So the movie of the week, we mentioned earlier that it exceeded expectations. The Invisible Man, no surprise there, except for when he sneaks up on you, I guess. But it was predicted to make $20 million, and it made $28 million. That's like a 40-something percent over the predicted. That's
on what?
On an 8 or something like that? It's small. Do you have that?
Oh, I don't. Let me look it up.
No, $7 million budget.
Yeah. $7 million budget. There we go. Thank you very much.
It went $8 million over projections, and the budget was 7.
Right.
So that just...
That's, I mean, I don't know.
This is a great looking movie.
Yeah.
Not to spoil too much, but for $7 million.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, even, I think even the Halloween movie for those 2018, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a $10 million.
But they're smart, you know, and
but
we'll
you're
get
paying
into
for
it,
Jamie Lee Curtis. And
right.
That was,
right.
The extra 3 went to her.
Right.
Well, it should have.
She pulled a Donald Pleasance.
Yeah.
They're smart though. Blumhouse is smart and Lee Wannell is smart. And like, they know how to make a good movie without having to go to tons of locations.
That
keep it contained.
That is the thing about horror.
Yeah.
There was that, remember that whole run in the mid to late 2000s where they were just like, Friday the 13th needs a $25, $30 million budget. Like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
You're going to put a bunch of kids at a camp. You're going to hire some hulk of a dude to play Jason. He's going to chop them up into pieces, and we're going to go about our day.
Yeah.
You don't need Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Nightmare on Elm Street, like all of that stuff. They were given those ridiculous... The Fog, like the Carpenter remake of The Fog had a ridiculous budget, and I'm like, all right.
Well, they lose sight of what makes horror good. You don't need it all, like you said. They're trying to, let's put all this money into it and make it big, but horror, to be scary, you don't have to be big, and oftentimes it's not good when it's big, right? Like,
it's
horror,
very
small,
very, very
dark,
rare.
Creepy. Like, you don't, the suspense isn't built on, hey, we're in this huge set piece location,
right,
and we're running around.
The only thing that works like that is Friday the 13th, right? Because you're at a summer, you're at a camp.
Well, yeah.
You know, like that.
It's like with comedies, like a big budget comedy
what
typically
does
doesn't work.
Yeah. Never.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I won't say never, but.
Yeah. I mean, if you're doing a big budget comedy, the only reason that even makes sense is, you know, you're pulling in the big names. If you've got someone that
You're paying Eddie Murphy $30 million
and needs that money, fine. But it's like, otherwise, what are you doing? You don't need that for funny jokes. Hire good writers.
I'm interested to see what that Halloween movie does. And yeah, we'll get that this year,
it's
right?
It's killing at test screenings around Christmas.
Already. And that's not even the final cut.
Early test screenings. They loved it, which, I mean, I'm sure they invite horror lovers.
The right people.
But,
but those are the ones that are also the quickest to turn on something.
Yep. Sure.
You know, big time.
You're right. They are probably some of the toughest critics.
Yeah.
Especially people that love the original stuff. You know, a lot of people that love the 70s, 80s movies are the ones that hate remakes. You know, they say, don't remake my whatever so-and-so I love. You know,
I'm on a Universal Pictures Facebook thing.
What is the consensus
I'm like
there?
The youngest guy on there, I think. And it's like, they're all like, they shouldn't remake this. Like, they're all just, they won't even see it.
You know how boring that other movie was, right?
Oh, my God.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
You know, that's the thing. People that judge things before, I mean, you can, it's everyone's right to say, I don't want to see that. It doesn't look interesting. But to judge it and not see it or even give it a chance, like to make up your mind before you give it a chance,
right.
You know, it's just, you miss a lot of really great things that way.
Yeah.
So anyway, Invisible Man, huge success, and I'm guessing we'll continue to do so, but we'll get into that next episode.
So I have a thought on
please.
The business aspect of this. So what does this do to the Invisible Woman? Because
I think it opens the door.
Well, Elizabeth Banks is already supposedly working on it.
Oh.
And this movie kind of sets itself up for the next one to be the Invisible Woman.
That's true.
Well, that's why I think that this is almost like a secret backdoor. Because, first of all, they said this is no way related to a dark universe, right? So, like, when they made this movie, it stands on its own, and it does.
Right.
And it doesn't hint, wink, wink at a bunch of stuff. But as we'll get into next episode, it does leave that door open to exactly what it sounds like she's developing. And so I wonder if, when they said all that, as far as like PR spin, like, sure, it stands on its own and it's not a part of it, doesn't mean they can't make it a part of
it. Right.
Because it looks perfect.
If this were to have failed,
then it wouldn't.
They can walk away from it.
They can walk away from it.
That's,
but since it didn't fail, they don't have, they can walk it wherever it wants to go.
Yeah, somebody on that Universal page was like, do you think this will be part of the dark universe? And I was like, if it makes enough money.
Yeah.
That's what I said when it got its role.
Isn't the dark universe dead? Or are they just saying that Blumhouse is doing the dark universe?
No, Blumhouse says he's not doing a dark universe or anything related
to the universe. So I think the dark universe is dead.
I mean, I think
pun
as
intended.
It stands,
but
I don't,
they could still
resurrect it.
Yes.
Give it a different name.
Yes.
But yeah.
But I think they're just not working on it, but I don't think necessarily, like, they've never announced, we've decided to stop the dark universe, right? It's just kind of like...
After that Mummy movie, they were like, no, we're going to stop it.
Back burner. Yeah. I love it. I think it was Ryan Terry, friend and guest of the show. He said that, which is true, when you go to Universal Studios and you see the horror makeup show, they use clips from The Mummy because it's their most recent horror movie.
Right.
Yikes.
And they all have, like, ways to make fun of it. Like Jungle Cruise style bits.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? So where they're like, they always make fun of the clips as it's going and they're talking over it and everything. So anyway, they know. People know
The
Mummy
is
bad. Not good. I mean, they show you some impressive special effects style things, but the story writing as a whole, didn't quite make the mark.
It's terrible.
Number two, Sonic the Hedgehog. Wow, still making a ton of money. $15 million in week three. That's $127.2 million
domestic. Movie.
But, I mean, you know, we've seen a lot of kids' movies that fail, too. I mean, this is something that really captured, and I think it speaks to our review. I know not everyone agrees with us, but, like, I think that the consensus was it's a serviceable kids' movie.
Sure.
You know,
with no other kids' movie in sight.
Right, but, I mean...
Well, Call of the Wild was supposed to
be. That's a kids' movie, and then
trampled
all over it. You know, so 115 domestic before the weekend totals, and 106 overseas. So it's up over $222 million on an $85 million budget.
My goodness!
I mean, and just and again, just whoever pulled the trigger on that redesign, like who okayed that? It's like, we'll spend $10 million on it.
Yeah,
like that person needs a promotion. I don't know who it is.
Do you think there's a version out there that exists where it's not
sure.
Oh, I'm sure
the full version's out there.
Sure
it was ready to come out.
Put that on the Blu-ray.
Oh,
maybe
like in a few years.
Yeah,
like
maybe
a special,
like a 10th anniversary.
I don't
edition.
Think we're quite ready to
when
do
you,
it.
But. Like when you're getting the what's his name, Eric Stoltz, Marty McFly. You're just like, ooh.
Oh, is there an equivalent of Criterion but for mediocre movies?
I would say Shout Factory, but. They do some really good stuff.
They just do underground.
They do
stuff.
And more cult.
So anyway, Sonic making a ton of money. Good for that one. Coming in at number three, The Call of the Wild. So, you know, it's actually picked up a little bit of steam and it's still going. 14.5 million is a 42% drop. That one's at $47.1 million. Did we? Let me look. I don't know if we had a budget. Oh, we did $135 million.
All because of that dog.
Holy yeah! Holy
imagine
cow.
How much it would have cost if they had to buy dog food.
I'm saying.
See, they really. But
$150 million budget.
But Call of the Wild is under $50 million domestic and has $15 million overseas, and the budget was $135 million.
Did you see it, Tammy?
No.
Keep it that way.
What a shame. Did that movie need to be $135 million?
Look, man, we got Han Solo.
That's a lot of money, though. I mean,
I like the theory.
Was $135 million on the screen? That's a ton. That's a blockbuster.
I mean, it was because, I think all those action scenes were CGI.
Yeah, but CGI doesn't cost that much.
I mean, I think there's more CGI in that movie than you're realizing. I think all
is it on location? Did they go to?
I think there are some locations, but I think the giant avalanche. Sure. That's all CGI.
The wolves.
I think all the sled scenes. There's a lot of CGI in that movie.
You think Harrison Ford only does a movie like this and gets his money up front?
Oh, yes.
I mean,
Harrison
he's
Ford
that age.
Only did voice work. He was entirely CGI.
Yeah. Oh, well, that explains it then. Oh, so that was the uncanny.
I like the theory that Star Wars was all made up and that he's like this. This version is him. Like he's Han talking to Chewie, but Chewie's just the dog. Like that's the whole movie. All of the adventures of Han Solo are in this guy's head.
Oh, for our older listeners, they're like Saint Elsewhere.
Exactly.
Star Wars universe.
Exactly.
That's hilarious. Oh my gosh.
So he's just talking to he calls the dog Chewie.
I love it. That would be great. I might watch it with that in mind just to you'd be like, oh, that's well, that works. So anyway, that's unfortunate for that one. Number four, My Hero Academia Heroes Rising. So that's an anime movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
And $5.7 million is probably, I'm guessing, one of those Fathom Events type things. Like those don't usually get a wide release. The line was in a different column. 1200 screens. So
yeah, I don't think that's Fathom because Fathom stuff doesn't normally
I don't think they track it.
I mean, I know that Fathom does it all over. Like they would get on probably that many screens, but I don't know. Either way, that this is big because that Dragon Ball Z Broly, I think, is the last one, and that made a few million opening weekend, or maybe it made 8 million for the whole weekend. Like they have found this niche where the anime crowd, instead of going straight to digital or DVD like they used to do, they put these things in theaters and they make $8 million, $10 million, and then they put them out on Blu-ray and they buy them there. They just figured out you could make it an event.
I wonder if you could do that with the DC movies. Probably not.
Why wouldn't you throw the DC movies on a Fathom Events
them? Killing Joke, they did that.
That's true. Yeah. They did. I think they did Under the Red Hood too.
But they don't do. They haven't done it with a lot. If they have, it's maybe a couple. Yeah. But I don't see why. We've talked about this before with like a straight to DVD type movie and like Planes, and they think, oh, let's just put this in the theater. I mean, that worked out long term, but the idea is the same. Where it's like if you've got a movie and you're going to put it out, and distribution's so cheap now, you know, with digital distribution, it's like, why not get your few million?
Right. And it's not Fathom. There's multiple showtimes at multiple theaters.
Oh, okay.
Well, good for them.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you have an audience, an underserved audience.
Yeah.
Well, Fathom does multiple showtimes at multiple theaters. What do you mean? How do you
over
know?
Multiple days? Oh, that's just being released.
Usually it's like 1 or 2 days.
On Thursday and then you're done. They do you can go see it today four times.
Nice. Okay.
At like eight different theaters.
Oh, that's awesome.
At your Skeleton Crew mall.
Yeah.
So they're probably, they're probably figuring out now that they were Fathom Events before, I believe, and they're now probably like, well, it's not that expensive to distribute. Let's get it on 1,200 screens and let's make $5.7 million. The same people that are going to see it, and I mean, I'm generalizing here, but I think fans that are going to turn up for a movie like this that are fans of the genre, fans of these shows, they're going to buy it to own it too.
Well, and I guess where I'm confused is, according to the chart, it says it made $5.7 million this weekend. It's its first weekend, but its total is $9 million. Mm. Where did the other four come from?
That's a good question.
That is really weird.
Did they do sneak previews? Well, when they do sneak previews, they count those weeks.
Yeah, maybe it was a Fathom event, and then it performed really well.
You know what?
And then they just released it.
That's a really good guess. That may have been that not the real release. They probably did. They're like, wow, we're going to make $4 million at Fathom events?
Just throw it out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Tammy, you know a lot about anime. Catch us up.
I know nothing.
So anyway, I mean, that's huge, though. I mean, good for them for making. I mean, their Dragon Ball Z is probably one of the most worldwide popular animes. You know, I mean, that's like.
Now, I've never seen it. Will I be able to follow it if I haven't seen Dragon Ball A through X?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
But you've seen Y?
I have seen Y, though.
Okay.
<that's Yeah>. Why not?
I've never seen any of them.
So anyway, yeah, good for them. 5.7 and apparently $9 million total for something that's just going
to... Let me tell you this. Do not take your kids to see Dragon Ball X. I made that mistake.
Bold
it
move.
Was, yeah, it was...
Yeah.
Did on not the marquee, think, they only could fit one X, but
yeah,
really three.
Did not think it through. You don't like... The Dragon Ball is not what you think it is.
No, I think it's exactly what I think it is.
In retrospect, yeah. Yes.
I think they do rub them and make a wish. Is that, did that stay true for the...
Yep.
Oh, so anyway, sorry, Tammy.
it's not like she's never listened.
Right,
to
yeah, I know. She yeah. knows what she's yeah. yeah. Number five, Bad Boys for Life. Apparently for life at the theater because 4 million brings it up to 197 million domestic.
We're going to see a trend soon, probably next year, of the action movie coming, like this big budget action flick coming out at this time.
Oh yeah,
they've found another hole in the right. release schedule.
Well, and they already knew that this time was good for that.
Is this
type
a John Wick time?
It's around that. John yeah. Wick was like Valentine's.
Yeah. I think yeah. was the first
so,
one.
So
yeah.
I mean, this one's was out in January, so it was a little earlier. But they've known about this little secret time where if you drop a good enough movie, where maybe in summer it wouldn't be, it would be competing with Marvel.
Well, they're
and
doing
stuff.
A lot of military stuff in that.
Yeah,
time frame,
yeah. We
too.
Talked about that. It's the.
American
Sniper,
Lone Survivor,
right.
13 Minutes or whatever it was called. Yeah.
13 like, hours?
13 hours.
Yeah. So they found the niche here. I mean, obviously we know nostalgia is high, at an all-time high with the generation that grew up in the 90s and they want all these properties and they made a good movie, right? Like
yeah.
they
yeah.
want to just reboot and remake everything, but they're not putting the quality in. Like this had it. This is a good one.
That is my favorite. I can always, it's weird. I feel like most people in Hollywood are full of crap anyway. You know, like, oh, you're going to love this movie. This is great. So Will Smith was on Fallon, and he was just like, I know I've said that you will love movies when I know you're not going to love them, but you're going to love it. Like, this yeah. is the one I was like, look, I'm telling you the truth. Like, this is going to be really
But now
good.
The next time he just says you're going to love
it. I know.
yeah.
That's how you'll know.
Yeah.
He's like, look, I know. I do like that, though. I appreciate it. He's just like, I know I've said this before.
Did you see why he doesn't curse in his songs?
No.
His grandma. So when he was a kid coming up, he would write rap songs that had curse words in them. Like I'm talking about like preteen.
Right.
And his grandma found the book and got really upset with him. And so that's why in all his raps, he doesn't curse.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought it was Scientology.
No. And his real name's Willard.
Well,
not William.
Made a good call.
Like the rat.
He's yeah. He's Willard Smith.
Oof. So. Will Smith works just fine.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Bad Boys for Life, 200+ million overseas. So Bad Boys for Life has made over 400 million on a $90 million budget.
That's got to be his biggest hit in a long time.
Well, Aladdin. Have you heard of Aladdin last year?
Yeah, that's right. I always forget that.
Over $1 billion worldwide.
That didn't deserve
it. But that's why you're seeing him in these movies. Like Will Smith is back. He's making movies like, you know, they're making money. I mean, I know Gemini Man didn't, but in between or around that is these two.
I think he needed
a hit.
But I think Gemini Man is going to come back around. I think that's going to, like...
I mean, it's okay, but it's not
good. I don't know.
You watched it?
I have not watched it yet. But
well, you need to watch it before...
But from, like,
that's so silly.
I've seen enough of, like, the action beats of where I'm just... I feel
have
like,
you ever watched a trailer and been fooled?
I watched a trailer.
I know, but I'm saying...
Yeah.
You know that you can watch good parts of stuff. And
I saw Suicide Squad.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's... The thing is, it was filmed as one of Ang Lee's technical
things,
and no one could watch it that way. And you can tell because the CG is so bad. They do Will Smith whipping around on a motorcycle, and he looks like he's a video game character. You know what I mean? It's
sure,
bad.
Yeah.
And when you do high frame rate, 3D, 8K, whatever, it makes that stuff all blend in because it's in that high resolution. Like the frame rate makes it look realistic. The high frame rate is great. That's why video games all run at 60 frames a second, 120 frames a second. You know, it's smooth. I mean, and it's helpful for playing too, but at high frame rate, CG looks more natural. In 24 frames a second, which is a slow frame rate, that's why movies are cinematic. CG, you catch every single angle and it's just not right. He is whipping around like, I'm just trying to think of a similarity to bad CG. I mean, when you watch it,
Call of the Wild.
There you go. Like, yeah, it's the equivalent of like what that dog looks like.
Yeah,
Will Smith in action scenes looks like that dog.
I also think it's tough when you do an act. Like, we talked about this forever ago, but like when we know what that guy looked like, it.
Yeah.
Right. 19.
Yeah.
Like, that's hard. And it's the same thing with the Irishman.
This is the problem. So it's not even the same thing because they use a different technology. So in the Irishman, they did that stupid de-aging thing, which, you know, people on the internet can do a better job. They didn't do a very good job of it. Will Smith motion captured his performance.
Oh, he did?
100% CG Will Smith. And that's why
it's weird to motion capture
your
younger
self. But yeah. But I think they figured, oh, that because we have his old self, they actually created a model based on images of him,
like Schwarzenegger and Terminator,
whatever
Salvation.
Yeah.
I think.
So,
yeah.
Sure. But and then if they have a full 100% CG model, then they can do whatever with it during these action scenes. But the problem was, it looked like a CG model.
Right.
They should have done a stuntman with the face thing.
Yeah,
you know, that you would hardly see.
I can't believe they're not doing that with Batman. I feel like that would be the easiest thing to do.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, it's a stuntman, but like you don't see anything on his face that would they could digitally like alter it. No,
yeah.
That's mud. I went back and looked at those pictures. Remember that? Well, so
those
he slides.
Dots are for tracking.
It's not. It's mud from the ground when he
falls.
Well,
why are they placed like on his chin, his two cheeks? Like,
because
I mean,
he got mud on his face. I swear.
They looked very symmetrical.
If you look at it, he fall right. There's that video of him doing the bike and he falls.
Yeah, right.
And that's him standing back up and he's got muck on his face. It's not. They're not pockmarks for CG.
Oh, well,
he's got mud face.
He's got mud face.
We'd
have
to
clay
research.
Face.
We'd have
clay
to
face.
Research
clay
it to
face.
Verify. But I mean, that's interesting. Yeah. I'll have to look at that again. So anyway, Bad Boys for Life. Be interesting to see when that next one comes out. I know they're working on it. Number six, now it's back to Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. I guess they flip-flopped back to that one now.
Sure.
$3.8 million is a 44% drop. It was $78.4 million in week four. And just because I don't remember the budget on this, go to this other tab. $84 million. It did make over 100.
Why does Harley Quinn cost less than Call of the Wild?
That's what I'm saying. That is what I'm saying. A DC superhero movie costs less than.
Well, I think we've talked about this. It's because it's all ladies and they make 7 cents on the dollar.
We've talked about that.
70
yes.
cents
yeah.
on the dollar.
70
yeah.
cents on the dollar.
Did you see Harley Quinn, Tammy?
No.
Okay. I was just curious if you saw it. Because, I mean, did you listen to our review of it?
Not yet. My daughter is currently going through black belt training.
Oh.
And so that takes up all
yeah.
of our time.
Wow, no
yeah, I get it.
I mean, we all liked it. Like, spoilers. Like, we all thought it was fun.
I didn't
serviceable.
See it, so I threw up.
Well.
Are you in the theater when you threw up?
No.
Oh, okay.
I laughed because I was going to throw up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Those of us who saw it and reviewed it all liked it. So, I mean, like.
I did not like the 20 minutes that I saw.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Before Tom saw it, I got out of the movie and I go, you are not going to like this movie. Because I knew that because I thought it was okay. And I'm like, Tom's going to hate this movie.
It was serviceable.
Yeah, but it doesn't deserve whatever crap is going online, as most things don't.
Yeah.
You know, all the crap. So.
Sometimes they do.
But most of the time.
But most of the time they don't.
So $84 million budget. I was going to say it is over $100 million overseas now. So it's up over 180 on an 84. So, I mean, it looks like it's going to eke out
a break even.
I mean, it's not really making that much money, but they're not going to take a loss. It wasn't a huge, you know, loss like everyone wants to make it on the internet. So anyway, number seven, Impractical Jokers, the movie. God, this is a slow time of the year.
Yeah.
Like, I think they went to Australia or something. I don't know. It's one of these, you know.
They stole the Jackass model.
Right. It's the Impractical Jokers have
and
the
it's
show.
It's not as funny. Yeah, I can't stand those guys.
I don't.
You don't like the guy from Quinn? Q?
I hate that guy.
You I've do. Only seen
with
like
a passion
little bits, and they always irritate the crap.
Ugh.
They
is that the guy on Tell Him Steve Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Brian Quinn.
Yeah. No.
Quinlan or whatever.
No.
Yeah.
No. They it just irritates the hell out of me.
I don't watch it, so I don't.
But
know.
I've never been a fan of those like prank shows anyway. But like
I don't know. Jackass,
you didn't watch Punk'd?
No.
Punk worked every once in a while.
Bloopers and Practical Jokes because I'm 100 years old and we had three things to choose from.
Oh boy,
it was that or a rerun of Airwolf.
But I Jackass, like I thought Jackass was really funny.
I will tell you,
I guess that wasn't pranks as much as stunts.
They do pranks on each other. I think it's both. But I will tell you, that Jackass 3D, I can't remember hardly another time I've laughed so much at the theater.
I was doubled over.
That movie was good. Yeah. Like, that wasn't just a cheap cash grab. Like,
no.
They had a model to where when they made those movies,
the
stuff they did was hilarious. Uh-huh. And even that bad grandpa movie was really funny.
Oh, yes,
don't confuse,
yes, yes.
I have to always think.
I'm with you.
Not dirty grandpa.
Yeah, right.
Bad grandpa. I mean,
I think there's another one of those coming. I think it's got Chris Redd, and where like there's a underlying story.
Oh, okay.
I think it's Tiffany Haddish, Chris Redd, and somebody else.
Huh.
And like, I don't remember, but it's like they are performing stunts with like real people, and the real people have no idea what's happening. But like, there's an under. It's the bad grandpa model.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. So we'll have to see. But you know, I mean, they're obviously riding that wave, and they made $2.7 million, and apparently it's in week two. I didn't even realize it came out last week. So, Impractical Jokers the movie has made $6 million. I mean, I guess if they're just going around filming what they do on the TV show, and they release stuff that doesn't get aired on TV, and they make $6 million.
Yeah, and they're striking while the iron's hot. They got live shows that go out and
They?
Yeah, I mean, they play arenas. Like they're a real thing.
Yeah,
it's not my thing, but they're a real thing.
I don't, you know, like as much as I'm online, I never see people sharing it on Twitter. Like I don't see anyone talking about Impractical Jokers. Like I mean, I'm sure they are popular in different areas, but not that I see.
Yeah. Oh, it's called Bad Trip, and it's not Chris Redd. It's Eric Andre and Lil Ren.
Eric Andre, Tom's guy that he doesn't know.
Oh,
I shared a clip of something Eric Andre posted the other day, and he was like, "Who's that?"
And Lil Rel.
Yeah, no,
he's a comedian that's kind of big now, but you know, he hasn't reached like Eddie Murphy level, but he's popular with the kids these days.
With the kids, yeah.
So anyway, number eight, a real movie, 1917, $2.5 million, a 41% drop, $155 million domestic. And, you know, I remember this one wasn't very high up overseas at the time, but I think it was just released in the UK. So let's see where it's at now. Yeah, now it's up to almost 200 million worldwide. So 350 plus million on an undisclosed budget, but it's
couldn't have been cheap though.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was cheap, but I also don't remember it being huge. It was under 100. I'm
oh really?
Fairly positive. We thought it was like lower, and then I remember it did come in higher than it expected, but it wasn't. Wasn't like 150. I feel like it was like around 100.
Okay. Yeah. Wikipedia says 90 to 100.
90, okay. Yeah. So yeah, I mean,
reasonable.
So it's made over 350, and I mean, go watch that movie.
Oh, that's absolutely.
Well, I watched on Friday. I watched Away We Go.
Oh yeah, it's a great movie.
I love that
so
movie.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I love
I need
that
to watch
movie.
That again.
And it was just like I had totally forgotten. I'm like, this is from from the guy that brought you 1917,
right?
And two James Bond movies.
Yeah,
the best.
Here's a quirky rom-com.
Oh, it's so good.
Here's a quirky hipster rom-com.
That whole opening scene with the thing.
Yeah.
And he was just like, huh, that's weird.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'll be right back.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, that guy made Skyfall.
Yeah. And Spectre, right?
Right, but Skyfall.
No, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Did you guys listen to the new song yet?
No. Nah.
Man, I don't know. I listened to it, and it's okay. It's really slow, but I put on Skyfall. God, that song rocks.
Like
Adele, that her voice is just... How do you follow that up? I mean,
you, I guess if you're Celine Dion, you follow her out of an awards ceremony. What a piece of sh.
But anyway, so yeah, that's go see 1917 if you haven't, though. It's a really neat film, and I'm glad it's doing well.
I'm not, for the record, I'm not calling Adele or Celine Dion a piece of crap. Like, I was in reference to the person that got the award that made them get up and walk out of an awards ceremony.
Oh, are you talking about the French thing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not Adele.
Who was it?
That's a French actress. Or
oh, I thought Adele and Celine Dion got walked out.
No, those are two people with similar names.
Oh,
I thought it was Adele and Celine Dion.
I was like, yeah, good for them.
The director of Portrait of a Woman on Fire and the star of Portrait.
Okay,
like their names are similar.
This is what you get.
That was funny. I didn't follow it at first.
This is what you get for scrolling,
like, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. I never even. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, no, we don't even.
No.
Go look that up. But piece of trash. You're right.
Yeah. Right.
Number nine, Brahms the Boy 2, $2.4 million, a 59% drop.
Bad timing on their part.
Yeah, but I mean, that's under $10 million. But what didn't they? Isn't that another one of those nickel budgets though?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and it was like $7 million or something.
Yeah. So I mean, it was 10 actually.
Okay.
So they're only just over 10 on a 10. So yeah, I guess that was kind of a swing and a miss there. But I mean, I knew nothing about that property. I guess maybe if you're really in the horror community.
I mean, even if you're really in the horror, even then.
Was the boy even, like, did
no.
anyone care about it?
No.
Okay. So then they're just like, yeah, we have this thing
creepy,
that.
Creepy doll movie.
Yeah, that didn't really get that beloved. So,
no.
Sequel.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We got the property, may as well do something
they're
with
all
it.
Trying. Yeah, they're all trying to do the same thing, but $10 million budget? Like, dude, The Invisible Man costs less than Brahms,
yeah.
The Boy 2?
Well, they're paying Katie Holmes. That's what that was.
Is she in that?
And yeah. She's in, yeah.
She's in the second one. But she wasn't in the first one. It's not like they had to bring her back.
Right, right. But I mean, The Invisible Man had a less budget than this. Okay,
yes.
Whatever. Well, we'll see how that continues to work out. And number 10 at the box office, just barely squeaking out over Jumanji, still in week 12. Fantasy Island made $2.2 million, a 48% drop, $23.9 million domestic. And Joe, do you want to guess overseas?
Ooh, I'm going to say 14
million.
Yes. Just under $14 million.
Right. Really?
So 13.
I did not know. I know it's not on my screen. Like, I was totally guessing. Oh,
13.4.
That's funny.
You're right. So, anyway, I mean, this thing
foot rub and a bomb pop.
It is a Blumhouse, so yeah. You know how that works. So.
You know, the people that made Fantasy Island are like, you know, between us and Invisible Man, we made $30 million this weekend.
So
Jason Blum's like, yeah, I know.
It's just around 40 million worldwide on a 7. So, I mean, Fantasy Island, as weak as it was, like, it made 5 times its budget.
That's the thing about horror movies, dude. Yeah. That's what we keep saying. You could throw 500 grand at one of those things.
But Fantasy Island, I think, is more impressive of a budget because Fantasy Island looks way huger than Invisible Man, and they kept it around the same budget.
Yeah, that's fair.
So it's like, kudos to them for making that on 7 million. I mean, even from the parties and the location and all the CG and like,
totally.
That's a lot for 7 million. So you got to give them credit where credit's due.
They stretched their dollar.
They did. And Jumanji had made 2.1 million in week 12 still. So like, that's insane.
Yeah.
So that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
I guess let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom McGeefe. I remember that Tammy does not want to be found on the internet, so I won't subject her to that awkward moment.
What if she wants to be found now?
Have you changed your opinion?
I guess somebody could find me on the League of Show Sharers.
So join. If you want to talk to Tammy, you got to join the League of Show Sharers.
She's like, you got to put some effort into it. Yeah. I don't blame you. So, and then you can find the show online at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. Don't forget, wherever you're getting your podcast, to subscribe and check out our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. Coming up on the next one, Tammy will be joining us again to discuss The Invisible Man. Until then, you've been warned.
Please listen to me. Please listen. I see you.
You're saying the person trying to kill you is in the room right now, but we can't see him?
Someone's sitting in that chair.
He has figured out a way to be invisible.
That's ridiculous.
You don't know him. He said that wherever I went, he would find me, and I wouldn't be able to see him.
Show yourself! Come on!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.